What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Inside the Eye. We already got our third episode. I cannot believe it. We have a special guest today, Gio Milian. You know him from Twitter. You know him from all his awesome spaces on Twitter. You know, the man is the Canes when it comes to everything Twitter, I feel like. So, Gio, if you want to introduce yourself, I know you have a new business venture. So go ahead, my guy.
Yeah, so look, now it's the peak time of the year that everyone's telling their off-season lies. Miami's going undefeated, 12-0, whatever everyone says. It's that peak time of the year. It's game week. You mentioned about the business that I had opened up. I was working in the NIL space for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, over at LifeWallet. I stepped away a couple months ago, been putting together my own business and corporation. I'm not going away from the Canes. I'm still going to be here. I'm not going anywhere for anyone wondering. Official launch is this week. It'll be before the Miami and UF game. And also got a surprise shadow drop this Wednesday with some big names in the Miami Hurricanes media circle that we're going to be having a weekly show every Wednesday that I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. Awesome to see what you guys do next. Love everything you do. Chris, how you doing? How you doing today?
Doing great. I just can't wait till Friday till we hit the Gainesville. Can't wait.
Yes. Counting the seconds till we can be up there. But you know how we start this show off? We start this show off with our little intro. We got to sound the sirens. Let's get it going.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it. I'm putting my heart in this, dog. Let's go, man. Let's go, baby.
We don't care about nobody except this you. We don't.
The toss as the visitor. It's a head, and it's a
Guys, we are Miami. We are the U. And every time you hear that, every time you see that on a shirt, on a commercial, at a game, that's got to mean everything.
That gets me pumped every single time I see it. I don't care what you say. When Mario utters those lines, the guy just bleeds this program, and I love to see it. But we're going to kick right into it. So, obviously, it's UF, Canes Week. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's really not much else to talk about. That's what everyone wants to talk about. It's a hot topic around the state of Florida in general this week. So I want to play a little soundbite that came out today that I thought was a little bit interesting. And I want to get Gio's point of view and Chris's point of view on this. Because every single Gator fan, they won't tell you they're going to win because of a personnel advantage they have. Everything they've said is the swamp. You've never played in the swamp. Cam Ward's never played in the swamp. So let's just take it from Coach Napier, see what he had to say.
Is going to be on full display Saturday. We're not taking on this challenge just as a team. We're going to have 93,000 of our dearest friends out there. We want to create a nightmare for the opponent. You know, this is one of the most iconic venues in all of sport, and I would anticipate it'll be pretty special on their Saturday.
So, yeah, I mean, it's what you got to say. I mean, I know I get it. He wants to pump the fan base up, get them out there, get them rowdy. I get it. But, Gio, I want to get your point of view on this because – This is why I'm a little bit worried for the game. But I want to know, you're around the team a lot. You see things a lot of people don't. Is this team mentally strong to where you think that they can go to Gainesville? Say something goes awry. Say we get a muff punt. Say something happens. Cam Worth throws an interception. Do you see this team as being mentally stronger than past teams that can go up and weather storms like this in a very hostile environment?
Yeah, I think they are. I think the proof was in the pudding from last season. You saw how competitive and how much they fought, even in games that they may have lost. Wasn't like they really got blown out in any games. Anytime they faced adversity, like, for example, when they played Texas A&M at Hard Rock last year, I was watching that from the field level, and I'm talking to a guy next to me that was shooting photography, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go again, right after the Jacoby George, when he muffed the punt return. But Miami responded. They punched them back in the mouth. They stayed in the game, and they pulled out at the end. And there's just many examples of that throughout the year. I know I could ramble on about TBD and the interceptions, which in reality, Miami was one of the top third teams in the country in terms of almost every statistical category across the board, from offense, defense, and special teams, outside of turnover margin and then just explosive runs. But turnover margin was awful. I mean, you can't play winning football if your quarterback's averaging about 2.5 interceptions in the span of 5.5 games. Like, that's just not winning football. But yeah, no, I think that they are mentally tough. I think they've reached that point where they understand that you have to battle, that you can't just lay down if you go down a touchdown or two touchdowns or something goes wrong in the game. And guys are responding much better compared to previous regimes. I saw a lot more of that when Mark Richt was coach. I'd noticed that, you know, they would still fight and they would stay in games. In other previous coaching regimes, it was, you know, if a team got up two possessions, it was almost like they laid down and they're like, all right, the game's over.
100%. And I agree. And I think you've even seen it. I think the toughness has been here since Mario has even been here. Even when they had that tough first year, there were blowouts, there were ugly games. I feel like there was never really a time they just laid down. They just were simply outmanned, I think, talent-wise a lot of the times, and hurt a lot of the times. I think you think of that Clemson game. I think it was Mario's first year. They played at Clemson. You know, they were hampered because they were playing a freshman quarterback. But the defense kept them in that game. I think it was like a 26-10 game going into the fourth quarter. You still kind of felt like you were kind of hanging around. They made plays here and there. DJ Ungulo, our guy, DJ, you know, kind of keeping them in the game, making turnovers, doing things like that. So I think the toughness has always been there. Now I think they have the talent to go with it, which is great. Chris, how do you feel about the Swamp? You're going to be there. You're probably going to be a little sweaty. Are you feeling like the Swamp is something you're a little bit worried about, or you think it's going to be nothing?
No, I would be lying if I said I wasn't worried. There's going to be, you know, UF. I've never been to the Swamp, but the UF fans that I do know are a little crazy as it is. I can't even imagine being at the stadium with the college kids. It's going to be rowdy for sure. It's going to be really loud, really hot, but I think Miami will do well. I'm not worried about the loud or the noise or anything, the volume. I think they'll do well, and I think they know what they're getting themselves into. I read something that they're pumping noise into practice, or they had the speakers going. So I definitely think they're going to prepare as much as they can.
And one thing I want to point out too is I feel like people think Cam Ward, Pac-12, never plays in hostile environments. I mean, Oregon is a very hostile environment. If you've ever watched games there, Washington last year, Cam played Washington the last game of the season in a rivalry game with a team that's trying to punch a ticket to the playoff on the road. That was a very close game, and all pretty much because of Cam Ward. And so I don't think he's going to be shy at the challenge. I don't think the stadium's going to wow him to where he's going to back into a corner and get all skittish. If anything, I think he's going to rise to the occasion. I think it's going to be the opposite when it comes to Cam Ward. I think it's funny enough, if you go back and watch some of his games that probably weren't the greatest, they were in like Cal. Maybe the big stage is what he likes, and that's what gets him kind of playing at his best. So I think we're going to see that from him. But diving right into it. So the point of tonight is we're going to go to position to position and give our unbiased, try to give our unbiased opinion on what we think each team has the advantage in. We're going to go position to position group, and then essentially just give our prediction for the game at the end. You can give a score if you want to you. But we're going to start with the quarterbacks. I'll start with this one. I have seen Gator fans constantly say they have an advantage here because Graham Mertz is in his second year in the system. And I get that. I do. I really do. But I just don't think you can look at this objectively and say that the Gators have the advantage here. I just feel like Cam Ward, what he did at Washington State is so above and beyond with the talent level he had on that team. And now he finally has the weapons that he's always wanted. I just don't know how you can give the advantage. I get it. I get where they're coming from, you know, but it's not too far off from the system he had at Washington State. I don't think there's going to be much of a learning curve. He's been around here for a while. He's been around here since January. He's built up a good rapport with a lot of the guys. A lot of the young guys have been here since the beginning of the year, built up a rapport with them. I just don't see there being much of something to compare here. And I get it. Graham Mertz, he takes care of the ball. He is, I think he's a prototypical game manager, and I'm not necessarily saying that as a bad thing. I do think he disperses the ball well, doesn't make mistakes. That's something he's done differently from his time at Wisconsin, which was he made a lot of mistakes at Wisconsin. And I think Napier and crew has gotten him kind of in that game manager role, and he's done a good job keeping control of the ball. But I got to go Miami here. I just can't look at it objectively and think that Florida has the advantage here. Chris, what do you think?
I totally agree. Check down Graham. I don't believe that he's better than Cam Ward. I don't. He doesn't have the weapons like you spoke about. He doesn't have the offensive line. He's going to have to really, really have a great game for them to even come close to Miami. And I just don't see it happening. Cam Ward is light years ahead of him, in my opinion. And I think it's going to show on Saturday.
Gio, what do you think?
I'll chime in here. With Graham Mertz, I don't think that he's a bad quarterback or anything like that. I think he's a pretty good college quarterback. One of the things that you can kind of take away from him is the factor that he doesn't really play ahead of the sticks. A lot of that offense is very much underneath, quick game, bubble screens, all of that. I've watched constant nonstop tape on Florida and their offense last year. Maybe they'll throw in some new wrinkles this year. I do think he has some intriguing options at wide receiver. I know they dipped into the portal for a couple guys as well. I just don't think he's as dynamic as a quarterback like Cam Ward. And, you know, maybe Gator fans will view that in a different way and whatnot. I'm trying to speak very unbiased here. The way that I see it is Cam Ward, even from the standpoint of keeping defenses on their toes, he's not some dynamic runner like a Michael Vick or a Lamar Jackson, but he can extend plays. He can get outside the pocket, and he can make some magic happen sometimes too. It's been all over his tape throughout his collegiate career, from Incarnate Word to Washington State, and then you even saw a little bit of that in Miami's spring game. Do I think like there's this vast gap? Maybe not so much. I think people don't give Graham Mertz enough credit. He is a good college quarterback, but Cam Ward is the better quarterback. Miami has the advantage there. The only thing that could throw in a wrinkle there is I know Florida has had some discussions of having DJ Lagway, maybe having some design runs in that offense, some specific packages and whatnot. We'll see if Florida throws that out there week one with a true freshman. But yeah, and in terms of environment too, like on the question that we had before we got into the positions, you know, that comment from Billy Napier, the way I look at it is it sounded like something that came out of Captain Planet. If you're a 90s kid, if you remember that cartoon that would come on, basically like type of comment like power of friendship. At the end of the day, you have to line up, play ball. It doesn't matter how many fans are in the stands or anything. There's been many teams that have been upset at their own home stadium despite whatever fans. Those fans are not going to go out on the field and play football for that team. You have to line it up and play. So, yeah, Cam Ward.
And one thing I want to point out, too, is I want to just say as well, like you said, I don't think Graham Mertz is a bad quarterback at all. I think he's an above-average college quarterback. You can win with him. I just think, like you said, when it comes down to a game that may be close, which I think this game will be close, you're going to need someone that's going to make dynamic plays. You're going to need someone that's going to put the team on their back at some point. I just don't see Graham Mertz as that person. And one thing that goes is I think if the running game does not go for Graham Mertz, they're in trouble. I think Cam Ward can be successful even if the running game gets stifled. I think that's what makes them different. I think Graham Mertz needs complementary play to be successful. I think Cam Ward could put a team on his back and win by himself. So I think that's the difference between the two. Definitely think Graham Mertz is a good quarterback, can win games with him. I just think Miami has to have the advantage here. Now we're going into running backs. Before we found out about Damian Martinez, before we found out about Mark Fletcher being hurt, I told Chris a couple episodes ago, this was probably my most worrisome position group. Like, honestly, like we had AJ Allen and that was about it, and a bunch of young guys. Now you're looking at probably one of the, at least I think, top five duo in the country. I mean, top 10. I mean, you got a guy in Mark Fletcher that can probably start for 90% of D1 schools out there. And you have a guy in Damian Martinez that was one of the best running backs in the country last year. I do think this would be a lot closer if Montrell Johnson was playing. Obviously, that, I think that's a bigger hit to Florida than most people are talking about. That guy runs hard. He is a very good running back, and you gotta remember they're gonna miss heavily Trevor Etienne as well. So losing Trevor Etienne in offseason and then now losing Montrell Johnson, you're asking for a lot of young guys that don't have a ton of experience to step up and be the guys. And like I said before, if the running game is not working for them, I think they're in trouble, because I think Miami can get there with four, and we'll talk about the D-line later, but they'll pin their ears back and go after Mertz. So this is the easiest position group for me to pick. It's easily Miami right now. Chris, what do you think? If you even have to give your
As I was doing some research today and really digging into the Florida reporters and all these guys that have podcasts, and they talked about Montrell Johnson, and I was like, man, you know, if he doesn't go, which obviously it's looking like he's not going to go, but they didn't rule him completely out is what I read, but it doesn't look like he's going to go. Yeah, that's a big, big game changer. 100% Miami has the better the depth at running back, so I give Miami the edge here. Martinez, I think he's going to have a really good game. With some more research that I did on the defense, I'll go into that a little later, but I think Martinez could have 100 yards, 2 touchdowns this game.
Gee, I want to ask you something. Do you think we can see Mr. Chris Johnson in this game at all? Maybe a couple packages here and there?
There's a very good possibility. I'll share with you guys this in terms of Chris Johnson. His development has been very remarkable, especially from spring till now. The light has really started to come on for him. He's put together quite a few good string of practices throughout fall ball. His speed, you can't teach. 10.2 in the 100 meter. That was dating back to his senior year in high school, potentially even faster now. He's gotten a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger. Also, the other thing people forget about Chris Johnson, when he was coming out of Dillard High School in Fort Lauderdale, I had the chance to watch him coming out of high school. And most of his career, he played wide receiver. He switched to playing more running back his senior year, and he was kind of an athlete playing the position. So there was nuances of the position that he still had to pick up on and get used to and get comfortable with. He's gotten much more comfortable now. He's had a really good fall camp. Even a guy like AJ Allen, very healthy. He was actually dealing with a shoulder issue last year. One of the things that kind of kept him off the field too, AJ Allen last season, he still needed to improve in his pass protection. He's improved in that aspect. And the other thing I'll mention, a little nugget about AJ Allen, this was coming out of the scrimmages from a year ago, right before the season started last year. Miami's two best running backs in those fall scrimmages was Mark Fletcher and AJ Allen. And AJ Allen has a lot of juice. I know everyone gets really excited about Chris Johnson, but pay attention a lot to AJ Allen. And then just, you throw in the factor of Jordan Lyle came on really strong at the end of camp. Actually, I even found out he was getting some work with special teams on returns, which I think was really intriguing, especially having a running back with that type of size back there and the combo and mixture of the speed that he has too. Reminds me a lot of Mark Walton, actually, when he played for Miami. Just very similar players. But yeah, no, I agree. I agree with what Chris said, just in terms of Damian Martinez having a big game. Mark Fletcher will be on a snap count if he does play in game one. I know Chris Wall said he's already good to go, but usually how those situations go right before game time when they're all warming up, they test them out, make sure everything's good, and then they clear them to play. So we'll see how it goes. I'll be on the field there. But in terms of Florida's running backs, Montrell Johnson, that is a huge hit for them. I know they're pushing to get him back on the field for game one. We'll see what the scenario is there for them for that game. Treyon Webb, I actually watched him coming out of high school out of the Jacksonville, Florida area. Talented, minimal experience in comparison to Miami's running backs on their roster. I mean, you're talking about Damian Martinez, who's played so many games of collegiate football. Mark Fletcher, who was borderline a freshman All-American running back last season. AJ Allen, who flashed at Nebraska as a freshman and then flashed some last year with Miami. you know, that experience matters. This is the problem I see. I don't want to ramble too long, but this is the problem I see from Florida Gator fans. And I see it all over social media or just comments everywhere. Or I'm in a bunch of group chats too. So things get sent to me from message boards that I see. I see a lot of hope and clinging on to potential. And I think potential is a very scary word. Potential is a very scary word because there's nothing like proven production. That was the difference with what Miami did in the transfer portal. You saw just this past weekend with Florida State, they took a lot of flyers, guys that weren't really the guy at their previous school, but are talented, but not really proven yet. And you saw that take place on the field. Miami didn't do that in the offseason. They added guys that are proven commodities. Your Damian Martinez, your Zach Carpenters, your Sam Browns. I can go on and on. Tyler Barron, Elijah Alston. You get the point, though. There's a lot of unknown with Florida's running back room right after Montrell Johnson. If he doesn't play, that spells a lot of problems even for a quarterback like Graham Mertz because he plays behind the sticks.
100%. And I agree with everything you said as far as they almost sound like where we were even just 2 years ago. You have a lot of guys, you're like, man, I feel good about this guy, but you don't really know. Yep. You haven't seen him play. You're going off of 24/7 rankings or, you know, one random play that he kind of showed out like a year ago. And you're like, hey, maybe there's a little potential there. We have guys going, like you said, to AJ Allen that have shown it, that have had flashes. And it's funny you bring up AJ Allen, don't sleep on him. When they came out with that, I think the Canes camp, like YouTube clip yesterday, and they showed a little clip of one of the scrimmages. And I was like, who's that flying down the field? And I was like, I think that's AJ Allen. Like, damn, I didn't realize he was that fast.
Yeah.
So you may have something there. I never even like thought about like, but it just shows how deep this running back room is. Like, I think it's the deepest, honestly, we've probably had since the early 2000s. Like, it's deep. Like, even you have
I'll share this with you, Kev. And this is just passed on by to me by people that have watched practice outside of the media viewing portions. I always go by the rule of thumb that I want to see it on the field, but I've had the words passed to me, elite room, best in 2 decades. I hope that's true, because if that is true, Miami's in for a really good season if that is the case.
Yeah, because again, you pair it with Cam Ward, the offensive line.
The offensive line. I was just about to say that. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I think we're all going with Miami having the advantage here. So let's move to wide receivers. I think, you know, just to give my opinion real quick. I do think Florida may have the best receiver on the field. I mean, if we're being real, they may have the best receiver on the field in Trey Wilson. After that, they picked up a couple guys in the portal. Badger from Arizona State showed out a little bit here and there, was on a really bad team. So I get it. You can't really take too much stock into only having 600 yards. And then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Dyke is his last name. Mm-hmm. And it's from, do you know where he's from, Gio?
Wisconsin.
Yes. Terrible system. Still put up production. So, I mean, what we said differently from the running back room, they have production in the receiver room. There's guys there that have proven it. There's guys that have showed out. But again, I just feel like our room is just head and above better all around. I would say this could be a push if we didn't get Sam Brown. I really think Sam Brown just puts this wide receiver room just over the top. You've got to remember about Isaiah Horton too. I feel like he kind of goes forgotten. Had a really good face that you could tell me, you could probably attest to it. Had both spring and fall camps. Apparently had really good spring and fall camps. Apparently it's like Cam Ward's favorite guy. He was talking glaringly about him in a lot of interviews. You can't forget about JoJo Trader. Chris, you talked about it a couple episodes ago. You can't forget about Ray Joseph. You know, it's deep. It's deep. You got guys that have proven production at the top. And then you have a bunch of young studs in that 4, 5, 6 spot, you know, that can slide in and make plays. I got to go Miami here. But again, I do think they may have the best receiver on the field in Trey Wilson. So I think they're going to, and they've said it too. The coaches have said they're going to try to feed him as much as possible, which makes sense. But I would hope that, again, we can make noise in the front end, kind of bracket him, maybe find a way to kind of take him out of the game a little bit. But Gio, let me know what you think about the wide receiver rooms.
Yeah, there's only one thing I'll disagree with you on. I think Jacoby George is the best wide receiver on that field on Saturday. Maybe not the best pro prospect. I think that you could kind of go between a Sam Brown or Eugene Wilson for that. But Florida overall with their wide receiver situation, I agree with you. Very close to a push before Miami grabbed Sam Brown out of the spring transfer portal window. One other thing I'll mention, Elijah Badger, he's actually dealing with a back issue right now, from what I understand. So he may be limited or on a snap count for that first game too. He might not even be starting, actually. And I've heard something that Khalil Jackson, one of their veteran guys, who he hasn't had much production really at all in his career, but he may be in line to start that first game alongside Wilson and Dyke. I know they have, again, like I said, potential is a very scary word. I've seen their fans talking about it, saying, oh, we got this young guy and Andy Jean and this guy and that guy and Tank Hawkins. Well, Tank Hawkins is hurt right now. Andy Jean is hurt right now. They have other veterans behind them that really haven't produced much. It feels almost like that group at receiver that Miami had back in 2022, that there was a lot of these guys that they were in college for 3-4 years, but truly no production. And you saw it play out on the field that, you know, they just weren't it. And many of them ended up transferring out. But Miami's receivers, though, I give them the edge here. I don't want to sound like a homer, but I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible. Miami is one of only two teams in the country that has three receivers on a roster that went for over 800 yards last season. They're one of only two teams in the country with that. And then you throw in the factor of a guy like Isaiah Horton. I know I mentioned about the word potential and this and that, but it's not so much potential with him. When his number has been called upon at Miami, he has produced. He sparked the comeback against Texas A&M. He had a really good bowl game as well against Rutgers. He has actual experience, and I've overheard he's been, I was told at one point, this was about midway through fall camp, he was the most consistent receiver. I know Sam Brown and Jacoby George came on really strong at the end of camp, but Miami technically has four starting receivers. And then you throw in the factor of a guy like Ray Joseph. He kind of hit that freshman wall last year. Everything from spring to now, he's put on weight, he's put on muscle, more confident now. More sure in his step, whichever words you want to attach to it, he's much more prepared this year. There's going to be guys from Mario's signature class, which was that 2023 group, that maybe you didn't see a lot of as freshmen, but they're going to play a lot this year, some second-year guys from that class. So, yeah, I give Miami the edge. I think Miami's just more explosive there. Jacoby George, second in the country, returning for yards after the catch of all receivers. So, there's just a lot there. And then you throw in Xavier Restrepo, too. I haven't even talked about him. So it's an embarrassment of riches. I do think Florida does have some talent there. I think they're going to test Miami's defensive backs, especially early on in that game. But I just think Miami has too much. And I didn't even speak about JoJo Trader either. So,
yeah, it's ridiculous. Both running back room and receiver room, it's just so deep. We haven't seen depth like this in so long. It just feels nice because the Canes of the old would be like, okay, your starters, you can win with them. You know, you felt okay with your starting group a lot of the times, but an injury happens. Football injury happens to this guy. Injury happens to that guy. Guy steps in that never played before. Maybe should have never even given a scholarship to on the field. Massive drop off. God forbid we have an injury to someone. You feel more comfortable now with the guys you have behind your front end guys. Chris, I'm assuming you're leaning Canes wide receivers.
I am. I think the Gator offense, though, is going to revolve around Wilson, like both of you guys stated. They're going to do everything. I was reading they're going to do some quick passes, of course, but also don't be surprised to do some end arounds, reverses. He's going to touch the ball 20 times at least. He is the guy. You know, with the running back situation going on in Florida, they're going to rely heavily on Wilson.
And then going back to Miami, I know we barely touched on Restrepo until the very end, but I feel like the Gators are going to go all in on Restrepo. I think they're going to try to shadow him. And I think it's going to prove that Horton and George are going to have big games. They're going to leave him one-on-one, and they're going to go deep and just run right by him because the focus is going to be on Restrepo. So I'm looking for those guys to maybe catch a bomb or two.
That's the thing. You can't – it's like, who do you pick? You pick your poison. Like, who you know, you can shadow Restrepo, you can shadow George, but then you got the opposite. Sam Brown hits you deep, hits you for a post. You know, it's like, what do you do? You know, it's like it's really – we haven't seen something like this at Miami in so long. I'm trying to not be like, don't drink the Kool-Aid, Kevin, but like talking through this – talking through all of this, it just makes you feel good about where you're at. We can kind of like combine tight end and O-line. If you want to give a different advantage to tight end versus O-line, I think we kind of all feel O-line is Miami. I don't even know if we need to really touch on that much. I know the Gators are having problems on the right side of the line. And Gio, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the right side of the line where they're having a lot of question marks, which I believe is Bane's side. So
yes.
Good luck.
Right guard and right tackle, they're having issues. They still have guys going back and forth trying to figure that out. I know some people have had questions about who Miami's left guard is going to be. I've been on record saying this for basically since the start of camp, and it's pretty much held through. Miami's line left to right, you'll see Jalen Rivers, Matt McCoy, Zach Carpenter, Inez Cooper, and Francis Maunua. That will be your line game one.
So McCoy's beating out Okunlola?
Yeah, I wouldn't say so much like beating out. Those guys have still been competing. They moved Okunlola over to getting some reps at right tackle and whatnot. He may be more suited for tackle right now rather than guard. They're just trying to get him on the field faster. He's still progressing. All players develop at different stages, but one guy who's had a really good camp actually is Ryan Rodriguez. He's one of the swing guys on that line, could play center, could play both guard spots. He's going to help out Miami this year in a pinch. Like if they need someone to come in to spell someone, if someone's hurt or someone needs to get out of the game for a few snaps, he's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah, 100%. And again, depth is key. You know, I mean, you got your top five guys, I think, are some of the best in the entire country, but then I believe Sanson could probably step in and do the thing if they needed to. Like you said, Ryan Rodriguez, very versatile. Need him at center, put him at center. Need him somewhere else, put him there for a little bit. Tight end, I think we're all going Miami O-line, so I don't think we need to like hit on this too much.
I may buck the trend there, and only for one reason, because I'm sticking to the theme of production and in comparison to potential. Elijah Arroyo has been phenomenal.
Oh, you're talking tight end. Okay, you're talking tight end. Yeah. Okay, you're talking about O-line. I was like, what?
Oh, no. Miami has a very clear above-head advantage at offensive line. I don't even think it's comparable.
No, yeah, I'm agreeing with you on tight end. So you can go ahead with tight end. You can talk.
With tight end, Florida, they have Boardingham. He has production. Arroyo has had multiple injuries, although he's in the best shape of his career. He's very healthy right now. He's had a really good spring and an even better fall. He's in tremendous shape right now. Actually, I can't get too much into it because if someone from Miami is listening to this, I might get in trouble, but because it's some scheme-wise things. But let's just say Cam Ward really loves him, and there's a lot of creative things that they are doing with him. You throw in the factor of some of those other guys in there, Cam McCormick with his leadership and Riley Williams is really taking a step forward too. Elijah Lofton's going to be on the field this year too. He's an offensive weapon himself. You could put him in the slot. You could split him out wide, put him in the backfield. A lot of things you could do with him. Even Jackson Carver's had some moments in camp too. Just Miami's got a really deep group there. The only thing is production in real games, very limited. That's the only reason why I will give Florida that edge. But look, I'd love to be wrong. And I think I will be wrong, but I just have to give the edge in terms of sticking to the theme that production does matter.
I will say one thing. So you talked about with the tight ends, with the what's the word you used? The potential. That's what it was. The potential for the Hurricanes tight ends are unreal. Like, oh, yeah. They're there. The physical set, the catching, everything, blocking. But yeah, they just have to prove it. The potential for the tight ends, I think, are amazing. But yeah, let's see it on the field. Let's stay healthy. Let's be a threat. Let's be someone where they have to start game planning around us. And like I said, stay healthy. That's it. Stay on the
field. I don't even think it was so much an issue with talent. For some reason, I don't even know why we didn't target. I mean, you can say what you want. TBD.
I got an answer to that, actually. So I had a conversation with Coach Woodhill, Miami's tight end, during media day, and I spoke with Guidry and a whole bunch of those other guys. Guidry, by the way, mentioned two sound bites I want to mention here. Guidry mentioned that he believes the tight end room is a very special group, and he's coaching on the defensive side. He's not with those guys every day. And Ruben Bain also compared Elijah Lofton to himself, but on offense. I think if you want any, I don't think there's any better endorsement than that, than Ruben Bain saying you are the Ruben Bain of offense. That's a really good endorsement. But to what Coach Woodhill said in the conversation I had with him, we got into some recruiting stuff and whatnot, but the meat of the bone here, spoke with him about just the tight end situation last year and kind of what they went through. You know, Arroyo, they didn't expect him to have a hiccup with his injury again. And then McCormick, a lot of his specialty is in blocking. It's very true. You see it in terms of how his usage is and whatnot. And Riley Williams was really young. They were not expecting to play him as much as they had to last year. It was really out of necessity. They had to do it. So he mentioned that Riley Williams progressed throughout the season, but they were in this situation where they really didn't have a lot of guys there. And then people bring up, oh, what about Jahleel Skinner? Look, if you're a Miami fan, I'm going to tell you the truth. Jahleel Skinner had a lot of problems catching. His weight wasn't there yet, and he couldn't block. If you're not going to be able to block, you're not going to play tight end for Mario Cristobal. He was
he was great.
I mean, he literally looked like 160 pounds soaking wet. Like it was pretty obvious that he just wasn't going to see the field until he worked on his body. And I don't know what you do. I mean, you put him through a program. If he's gaining weight, he's gaining weight. If he's not, he's not. I mean, I think it's the same issue we had with oh my God, why am I blanking on the D end?
Cyrus Moss back in the day, a couple of years ago. Same thing, though. Super skinny commit. Yeah,
Cyrus Moss. I mean, some guys just struggle putting on weight, and I think that's what it is, or they're just not committing to it. But yeah, I mean, the tight end room has so much potential, but I'm taking Florida because boarding him, I think it's going to be actually a solid weapon for Mertz, again, in the short game. And I think, but this is something we can be looking at week 12 this year and be like, man, like I said a couple episodes ago, Chris, I think you got multiple NFL tight ends in that room. The body size, the way that they can do it all. Arroyo runs like a gazelle and he can block. He's got the body. So he's got the he almost looks like Jimmy Graham. He's got like the prototypical NFL build that they look for in a tight end. You can probably spread him out if you need to, but he can also get inside and block. You know, it's Riley Williams, true freshman last year, looked like he belonged as far as body size last year. Can say what you want as far as if he's prepared to play, if he's really ready to start and do all that. But body size, he looked like he belonged on the field with all those guys last year. And Elijah Lofton, I've always said, reminds me almost of like taking me back to my like early teen days, but not even early teen, like 10-year-old, but Najee Davenport. I just feel like you look at him and you see like a Najee Davenport. There were times you see Najee in the slot, be times you see Najee at halfback, fullback, anywhere you could put him, get him the ball, he'd make plays. I kind of see him as that type of player. And that's exciting for me because Swiss Army knife players are always exciting. But so right now, I think we're all 4-1 Miami. I'm going to kick off this next one again. D-line. All right. I just don't know what else needs to be said that hasn't already been uttered by so many people. Like, this is, it's absurd. It's really absurd what you have on the D-line. You have Barron, you have Mezidor, You have Bane. You have Alston, the highest graded DN in the country last year, coming in from Marshall. And then you pick up Simeon Barrow. You get guys like Moten. You got younger guys that can come in and play D tackle. I'm kind of interested to hear what you say about, if you've heard anything about Horton, Gio, because I liked him a lot coming out of high school. I don't know if his progression's been.
The defensive tackle? Yeah, so he, from speaking to some people, he's about like a year away in terms of still needs to develop a little more. Had a shoulder injury that he was kind of nursing last year too. Missed a lot of the spring this year too. Just overall, the defensive line group, I'm sticking to the theme again in terms of production. Miami's got a ton of production there. And it's not only production that's coming from other schools. You have Akeem Mesidor coming back, who has had a really good camp. He's healthy. Reuben Bain, ACC Freshman of the Year. And then you throw in all those transfer guys like a Tyler Barron, who was one of the better pass rushers in the SEC, a top five pass rusher in that conference. Elijah Alston, who you mentioned, had tremendous PFF grades. And even Coach Guidry mentioned, just in terms of his description about him as a defensive end, he said that Bain, Barron, and Mesidor can all play inside and out, but he said that Alston is more of that pure pass rusher, that he will always be at defensive end, teeing off at the quarterback. So that's his role. Cole McConathy in the mix there as well. One of the freshmen that has really flashed. Even Malik Bryant, in terms of like the last week and a half of camp before they really closed it up with the last scrimmage, he was coming on really strong. And he was someone I really liked coming out of high school. I thought it was a little bit of a disservice to him playing linebacker to start his career. The best thing they did for him was moving him down to edge rusher. He's really going to benefit from that. And they're going to have to play him this year because you're going to lose a lot of veteran guys after the season. So you're going to see him in some spots this year in terms of rotation and defensive tackles. Simeon Barrow, I don't even think his listed weight is correct. I mean, this guy is built like a house. Like, I know they say it's like 6'3", 6'4", 290. No, I thought like 6'4", and a rock solid like 310. Like he looks legit. He plays legit, physical. He's going to help Miami a lot. Ahmad Moten has really stepped up. You're going to see a guy like Marley Cook in that rotation in terms of pass rushing duties from the defensive tackle spot. CJ Clark will be in the mix there as well, a veteran guy they brought in. The biggest surprise, though, in terms of all the defensive linemen is the development of Anthony Campbell. He's put on 20 pounds since he came in from Louisiana Monroe, can pass rush, can even play some defensive end. He did that during the spring when Miami was kind of low on numbers there. He's back at defensive tackle now. He's in that mix, too. So Miami's got a lot of veteran guys. And I didn't even mention Justin Scott, who flashed at times throughout fall camp. I'm not sure how much he'll play game one, but he's going to be a guy that may be very similar to how Bane's emergence was last season. It wasn't right out the gate, but as the season progressed, he continued to get better and better and better and better. And then halfway through the season, they just let him loose. I think you could see something like that for Justin Scott. But Florida's defensive line, though, I won't go down all those names, but there's a theme here with the Florida Gator fans where they're talking about Justice Boone. And I do think he's very talented. He was a very talented kid coming out of high school, but he had an injury last year, doesn't have a lot of collegiate production yet. And they're banking on this guy to be their big time, prime time pass rusher. And again, I'm a believer in production. Like, I love Miami's potential at tight end, but I went with Florida for tight ends because they have that production right now. So I'm just being very realistic. Miami, they outclass Florida in terms of defensive line production across the board, the starters and even some of the rotation guys.
And Florida also had a pretty key injury that I think is kind of being thrown under the radar. I forgot his name, but a D tackle. And I think one thing you need to focus on is a lot of people like to talk about, what's his name? 21. The big boy. Big boy in the middle.
Desmond Watson.
Desmond Watson.
Yeah, he's great.
Never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, he clogs up the alleyways. The problem is the boy can only last like three plays at a time. So having a depth issue as far as one of your depth pieces getting hurt in camp, I think is going to kind of come back to haunt him, especially when you have the offensive line like Miami's, the running game like Miami's. They're going to get gas. It's going to be hot out there. I think one thing you look at when you see Miami's defensive line, and then Chris, I'll let you go, is the bodies, the college, the collegiate style bodies. Like, you have guys that look like they belong on a defensive line. I think one thing that Miami has struggled with, and Mario has brought back, struggled with in the Manny era, I think we saw it a little bit better during the Richt era, was you looked at the teams on the field and you're like, that guy looks like he is on a top 10 collegiate squad with his body size. You got guys like CJ Clark, Marley Cook, Simeon Barrow in the middle there. They look like they belong on a college team plugging up the middle of a defensive line, where we've had defensive tackles in the past that just, they don't look the part. And I think we have guys that look the part now. And I think it's a testament of what Mario loves to do, which is the trenches. You see it on the offensive line. You've seen it on the defensive line now. And that's one thing we're always going to have. How do you feel, Chris? You feel good about it?
I do. And you guys hit on so many great points. You hit on a lot of things I was going to say, especially with Boone with that injury. Sapp is an undersized pass rusher for Florida. I read a lot that they're going to try to get LJ McCray on the field. And don't be surprised if he maybe even like get in majority of the game. I think he's going to be like their guy on the defensive line. I'm not too really worried about these other guys of all potential. You know, they should be good. I think that LJ McCray, though, will be a factor in this game. I think he's a really good prospect. I really wish he was a Miami Hurricane, but that's here and over there.
He is huge. That's a man that looks like he's ready to play already.
Yeah. But with our defensive ends and our defensive line, offensive line, the starting five, I think is amazing in the country. And I think is our best lineup on the team. But when you talk about the defensive line and the depth that we have, I think that is the position group that is the best on the team. We are going to dominate Florida. I'm not, as a Hurricanes fan, I get it, but we're talking about they're missing two starters, or they don't know who their starters are on the right side. Their left tackle went through some injuries last year. I expect them to get after Graham. Like, they are going to get in his face. There could be a sack, fumble, you know, something like that. They are going to get in him. They're going to mess with his head. They're going to be all over him. And the rotation, it's going to be, you know, get the first guys, the first team out there, they'll do a snap or two, and then we'll rotate. And our second team defensive line is going to be just as good. And they are just going to be nonstop all over Graham. So I think they're going to have a big game.
And I think one thing that that's a good point, is, again, talking to the depth. This is a 3:30 game in August. It's going to be fucking hot. And, you know, you're going to need guys rotating in. And does Florida have that? I don't think so. Does Miami have that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hey, listen, Bane, Alston, you a little tired? All right, we're going to put Barron and Mezador in there for you. For one drive. How do you feel about that? Hey, go get some water. Go chill. We'll let them take it over here. Like, it's crazy to me. It's the same thing. You can say, okay, hey, Moten, Barrow, hey, you guys a little tired. Go sit down for a couple plays. We'll throw in Cook and Clark, and you don't miss a beat. I mean, it's one thing we just haven't had in so long. It's just so nice to talk about. Because, again, it was always like your front line was always somewhat good enough to win, but you get into those fourth quarters – didn't need your second unit to come in and produce, and that's what we have now. All right, I think we all agree on the defensive line. Now the linebackers. I got to be honest, I don't know much about the Florida linebackers. Chris, but I'll let you go first because I feel like we've been going first lately. So tell me about the Florida linebackers.
So I know a little bit as well, just from the reading that I did, but they are bringing back some starters. So they definitely have the experience. But when you talk about Malagoa, that's awesome. But this is really going to be what Wesley Bissaint does, how he takes a step into the season of who I pick, the Hurricanes or the Gators, to have the best. I think it's closer than what people think. I would probably give the edge a little bit to the Hurricanes, but it's closer than what It's not just a layup like the defensive line was.
I agree. And I think we've talked about in previous episodes, I think Wesley is going to be one that we need to watch. And I think we've heard a lot about Gio. You can talk on it. I've heard a lot about in camp that he's been taking big strides to be that guy. This is a guy coming out of high school, out of Central, that everyone thought was going to be the next legendary King linebacker. Obviously it's only been a couple seasons, but it's taken him some time to kind of, and he was kind of thrusted into a big role at a young age. So, I mean, it's one of those things where now, you know, you feel like he may have the experience. Now it's time to prove it on the field. What have you been hearing about Wesley?
I agree with what you said, just being thrusted into a role so early on. Didn't really have any choice either. Very similar situation to the guy like Riley Williams last year, who they had no choice. They had to put him in. They didn't really have the bodies there. They had to get him play time. With Wesley, I spoke with him right before camp opened, and I asked him, I said, what is the difference this year for you? Like, I asked him specifically as well that, you know, does this help you that Coach Guidry is back another year? Because now you have some continuity. And he really went into it. He's like, yeah, you know, I felt last year that I was still trying to grasp the system, understand everything. I felt like I made some plays here, but I still left some plays out there. And I think that was pretty much any Hurricane fan's just opinion on Wesley Bissaint, that a lot of boom or bust last year, but some really impressive flashes of what he can be. This year, he looks like a totally different guy. Just physically, he's really committed himself to the weight room. I was told this based on one of the private practices that, well, again, I'm the type of guy that I like to see it on the field when game day comes, because game day is a completely different thing from practice. But I was told not only does he look like a draft pick now, but he's playing like one too. So I thought that was interesting. Kiko Maunyua, you know what to expect with him. And I'll share a little stat line that not many people are aware of. His season last year, where he produced 17 and a half tackles for loss, is the most by any Miami linebacker in the last 25 years. Just to put it in perspective.
And there's been some very good ones in the last 25 years.
Yeah, you can throw some names at Sean Spence, Denzel Perriman, Shaq Quarterman, Mike Pinckney, Eddie Johnson, who only played for a year, but he was really good. Almost an ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year himself back then. We're talking about over a decade ago. But, yeah, no. Kiko Maunyua, the season he had last year was pretty historic, but it's not talked about enough. The other thing I'll mention there, they add in a veteran guy like Jalen Alderman, who's going to be in the mix in that rotation. You have Cameron Bobby Pruitt, who came out of the state of Alabama, another steal in that recruiting class.
How's Popo progressing?
He's actually going to be one of those second year guys that takes a jump. He's working behind Kiko Maunyua at Mike linebacker. And actually, I've heard Chase Smith is a lot more healthier now too. He's kind of a forgotten man. A lot of potential behind those guys, but they do have production though. Jalen Alderman had a really good year with Louisville last year, over 60 tackles. Wesley Bissaint showed some flashes last year. Kiko Maunyua, I'll say it myself. I think one of the better linebackers in the country last year.
I agree. 100%. I agree.
And then on the Florida side, they have Grayson Pup Howard, Shamar James. They play a lot of 4-2-5, very much like Miami. A lot of colleges do that around the country now. You're mostly playing out of a base nickel defense because all these offenses are running out of the gun. Three wide, four wide sets. That's just more of the norm now in football overall, even in the NFL. Shamar James is a really good linebacker. Really good. I'm going to give Florida credit there. Very good. He had a breakout year last season. I actually might give the edge to Florida in terms of better coverage from their linebackers in terms of playing the pass. Playing the run, I would give the edge to Miami. This is one of those positions where I'm kind of like with a push here where I say it's really a split between the two, because Grayson Pup Howard is really talented himself.
No, yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things that you said. I think one of Kiko's downfalls is how he plays the pass. I would say that that's something going into the NFL draft in about a year or so, I think is going to kind of bite his draft status a little bit. But I think playing the run, I think he's one of the best linebackers in the country. I think Wesley's going to take a big, big step. I'm gonna side with Florida on this one too, just because I think they'd have a little more depth there. And I feel like after, although we did land Alderman, I just think Florida is just better at that spot. Chris, what are you siding with?
I think I'm going to stay with Miami, but like I said earlier, it's very close. Very close.
No, I agree.
I'm going with
secondary, which I think is interesting. And this is probably one of the more interesting position groups we're going to talk about, because I think there is a conversation to be had here, whereas some position groups there's not been much, like O-line, defensive line. Miami, I think people like to say this is the biggest question mark on the team, but like, is it? Because when I look at the players on the field, I mean, Daryl Porter, you can say, is the best corner on the field. Both teams, I mean, I don't know. I think he is. Damari Brown, I mean, you're looking at freshmen that performed last year. I think he's going to take a huge step. I mean, I feel pretty good with those two being your quarterback one and quarterback two. You got Richards. I get it. There's still a little bit of question marks, you know, as far as him getting a lot of snaps, how he'll perform. I think the biggest question mark is the safeties. I mean, obviously you got Mish Powell. He's going to be your kind of your rock back there. And then the other safety spot is kind of a question mark. That's where the question mark is for me, is the other safety spot. You got Jaden Harris. Do we know? Do we feel good about it? And that's where I'll let Gio tell me, because honestly, like, haven't heard too much about how that other safety spot is performing. All we hear about is Mish Powell, Mish Powell, Mish Powell. We don't really know how the other safety spot is performing. I talked the last episode. Listen, I think Cam and James Williams were great for the university. They were stable. 9 times out of 10, they made the right play. I do think they were a little overvalued as players, specifically James Williams. Obviously, you're seeing what he's doing with the Titans at linebacker. We've been preaching that. Everyone's been preaching that for 3-4 years. This is where you're supposed to be. So that's why I don't think there may not be that big of a drop-off, because I do think Mish Powell is going to step right into that role and kind of fulfill that Cam's Kitchens role. But let me know what you think about that other safety spot.
I think overall with Miami safeties, when I look at it in comparison from the group that they had with the two guys that went on to the NFL with Cam Kitchens and James Williams, and then now you have Mish Powell coming in, Jaden Harris returning, who was the understudy of Cam Kitchens. He's been attached to Cam's hip since the day that he arrived himself. The way I look at it, I believe you'll see more sound fundamental football from the safety group. I don't think you'll see as much wow and pizzazz plays like oh my God, like he really picked that off, or just things like that. I think you might see a little less of that, but more sound fundamental football from those guys. What I can share about the safety position, so Jaden Harris, I've heard a lot of good things about him in terms of playing against the run. Markeith Williams, though, has had a really phenomenal camp. Actually led the team in interceptions throughout all of camp. His development has been really key, because Miami has to build some serious depth at that position overall with safety. Like, you know, you could say some things about cornerback, but Miami truly, truly needs to build themselves up more at safety. And that's why you see even Mario Cristobal's approach with the 2025 recruiting class and all the defensive backs they're going after and they have committed now. They made that their premium position, just like the year before was defensive line. You saw the change now coming into this season, how deep they are. The year before that was the offensive line. You saw the transformation last season in terms of what they did with recruiting and the transfer portal at that position. So that's something you could see down the line, like next year, that Miami becomes much more deeper and solid overall with the defensive back group. So cornerbacks, I agree with you in terms of Daryl Porter. I think he is the most consistent of any cornerback between the two teams entering that game. Ceiling-wise, you can make the argument about Jason Marshall. I know he's had ups and downs at Florida, but he is still very talented. He's also really fast as well. We'll see how he responds in game one. He's going to have his hands very much full. I know they have a couple injuries going on there. I know one of their projected starters, Devin Moore, he's missed some practices, may not be a go for game one, so they might have to go with a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience yet in Jakeem Jackson, who was from the Osceola Kissimmee area in Orlando, Florida. And then you got some other guys there as well, and then your big name, Cormani McClain, who's really not expected to play much this year, which is I know Hurricane fans might snicker at that, but it's the truth in reality. I do think their safety position, I think they may be better than Miami heading into this game. Asa Turner, very productive player. Jordan Castell, one of the better freshman safeties in the entire country last year. He really proved himself. I know some Miami fans say, oh, well, Castell this, who is that or whatever. I've watched the tape. Really impressive. Really impressive play, especially for a freshman. I think he's going to be a guy that takes another step for Florida this year. So to narrow it down to who really has the advantage there, I think Miami has the better cornerbacks group. You'll have Damari Brown at your nickel. I know they're letting Daryl Porter take some reps there. OJ Frederick stepping up in camp really helps you out there in terms of your depth. He's also getting reps of the ones. Jadis Richard, I'll say this. And I'll close it out on this position. A lot of people say, oh, well, Damari Brown shut down Keon Coleman against Florida State. I tell Miami fans, turn that game back on and pay attention closely to who had most of that matchup. That was actually Jadis Richard. There's revisionist history going on. So, yeah, safeties, I'd say Florida. Cornerbacks, I'm going Miami.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit a lot of great points. One thing that I think is going to really help the corners and the safeties is going to go back to that defensive line for the Hurricanes. That's going to be the factor, right? So they're going to get pressure. The cornerbacks are going to be in position to get the deflection or the interception. So that, to me, is what's going to be the difference. I did, because I'm a big Cam Ward fan, I did look up Florida's pass defense from last year. It wasn't that great. A lot of the major categories, they were like 80th, 100th, 120. I even saw one of the stats. I know they had, like I said, Jordan was a freshman last year that was starting. He should be improved. Jason Marshall was out there. They're good for sure. But when you look at last year's defense for Florida and their passing defense, the numbers don't lie. Some of those stats, I was blown away. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, they've been calling for their defensive already. They've already been calling.
Like, yeah, they switched them. Yeah.
They were calling for their defensive coordinator to be gone. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say. So, and they're, you know, Turner's new. He's going to be brought into the fold. The starters look like they're going to be the same as last year. Hopefully they grew and become better players. But if it's an example of what it was last year, Napier's going to get fired after 5 games. Like, it could get really ugly, in my opinion, for the Gators, and it's going to come down to the secondary.
I agree with both of you. I agree with Gio in that I'm going to side with the Canes, the corners. I'm not going to trash Jason Marshall. Listen, I'm a Palmetto alum. You know, we can be cordial alum together. So rooting for him when he's not playing Miami. I do think he has a good ceiling, good potential. I don't think he's nearly getting maybe the best coaching. I think that may be the problem. Maybe what you've seen with Miami players in the past, great potential, not getting coached up enough. There's obviously something there that's lapsing. I agree with Chris. I think there was games last year where Florida was getting just lapped. Yeah. Like, it was, you can say what you want. I mean, you can't bring up games like LSU because obviously Jaden Daniels is just a different human last year. But who's to say that Cam Ward can't be the Jaden Daniels of last year? I mean, I'm not trying to get crazy, but I mean, their trajectory is very similar. They both played at schools that aren't necessarily talked about a lot. They have a lot of potential, have a lot of athleticism, and go to another bigger time school that has more athletic players around him, more athletes, produces more. I mean, I'm going to give them the safeties just because that other safety position, again, I don't necessarily worry about it, but I don't necessarily trust it as well until I see it. Like you said, Gio, I need to see it on the field. I need to see Jaden Harris perform. After what we saw with Cam and James over the last 3 years, you know, we felt comfortable in that spot. But I do like that you brought up that you may see more fundamental play because maybe we won't see a safety bite with 6 seconds left on the clock from the 50-yard line against Georgia Tech and let their receiver get behind them like Cam Kitchens did. So, yeah, they had flashy plays, but maybe the fundamental play will be what we need. But, yeah, I'm giving the safeties to Florida. I'm giving Miami the corners. So I think we've all kind of – the onus is what we've noticed is mostly on Miami. If you guys want to do special teams, you can. It's up to you.
I think Miami by far they have the better special
Florida team. Florida has a good kicker though, don't they? Isn't Smack?
Trey Smack is good, but he's not as good as Andy Borregales. Andy Borregales is a legitimate option to be an All-American this year. And then Miami even had a freshman everyone talks about Bain and Mauinoa. Dylan Joyce was actually a freshman All-American for Miami last year as a punter.
I did not know that. Yeah. Why did I not know that? Did not know that. The more you know, right? You feel like you know everything. I didn't know that. Maybe because I'm just not focusing on the punter position, but that's a good point. I did not know that as well. So, okay, we'll give it to Miami. We'll give punter and kicker to Miami because honestly, I can see this game coming down to a kick. So that's a good thing. So yeah, obviously we went position by position. Miami is the overwhelmingly favorite, at least to us. We're trying to not be biased, people. I'm trying my best, but we're really just looking at it of objective lens. So I'm going to let you guys go one by one. You can give me a little bit of a synopsis of where your head's at, where you're coming at with this score, this prediction. Gio, I know you have more of a pulse on social media with the Canes and stuff. So if you don't want to give a score prediction, I completely understand.
I'll give one, actually. I've been giving it. I've been sticking to it.
All right, I'll let Chris go first on this one.
All right, so if you would have seen on my last podcast, I had the Hurricanes taking this one. And I think it's, like I said, I bring up that defensive line again. That is going to be the difference maker. They're going to get after Graham, force a couple of turnovers. I think it'll be close in the beginning. I hope the jitters aren't there for Cam Ward, but I hate to say it, but I could see maybe a turnover by Cam Ward on the first or second drive. But I think Miami will prevail, and I think they will get a 10-point win. I'm going to say 31-21, Canes.
Wow, we're up from the 3 points a couple weeks ago.
After what I did for this podcast, the research and listening to some Gator fans actually speaking about their team, I didn't know as much as I did about their team, and now I'm more convinced that Miami has a better team.
All right, I'll go next and I'll let Gio end it off. I'm still terrified of this game, but I'm also just a bitch. I'm like Canes, just I have PTSD. I am the battered wife that my husband has been beating me for 20 years, and I think he can change, and he never changes. And I'm like, everything is there. It's right in front of me. I see all the talent. I see the quarterback. I see the receivers. I see the running backs. I see everything, and I'm like, but then I see the swamp week one, what they did to Utah a couple years ago, but then they don't have an Anthony Richardson. So it's like, is it the same? You know, so I keep trying to, like, keep going back and forth in my head, but I'm like, I'm going to be at UF. I'm going to be there. I can't pick us to lose if I'm going to be at the game. That's just like, it's lame mentality. So I'm going to say that Florida, I'm going to be a little more specific with my prediction, because I want to say that Florida will have a little bit of a fun time at certain points of this game. I think Florida will have the lead at halftime. I think Cam and crew will come out a little slow, We do need to put onus that it is the first time for all these players, a lot of these players, to be playing with each other on the field against an opponent, not each other. So I do think there'll be a little bit of time to gel. But I do think the second half they will gel. It will come back out firing. I think Florida goes in the fourth quarter with a 3-point lead. I think Miami wins with a field goal from Borgalis with 2 minutes left. And I think they win 27-24.
I'll tell you guys this. I was on record saying this the other week. I've been very pessimistic with Miami for some time. I'm actually drinking the Kool-Aid this year. I picked Miami to go 11-1 this season to make it to the ACC game. I think they're going to play Clemson in that ACC game. This first game against Florida, I just think Miami has too much on both sides of the line. I think their physicality and just how dominant they're going to be in the trenches, especially with that defensive line getting into Graham Mertz's face, as Chris said earlier, I envision it. I envision it because I just don't think Florida has enough on that offensive line to really contain that the entire game. I just don't see it. So I have Miami winning by two touchdowns, 34-20 in the swamp. They pull away in the fourth quarter, and they pull away. They'll open it up early on in the game, I believe. I believe they're going to want to try to put up points on the scoreboard, and then they're just going to run it down Florida's throat in the fourth quarter. A mixture of Damian Martinez, some Mark Fletcher if he's cleared during pregame, some AJ Allen, maybe some Chris Johnson in there. I just think Miami's much more of the physical team. They're deeper on their lines, and that's winning football to me. That and having a quarterback like Cam Ward that can push the ball down the field, I think that sets a difference there. I could see Miami having an explosive play or two in the pass game that really opens the floodgates. I could see it being tight in that first half, but second half, I think Miami takes over just depth-wise and physicality.
Yeah, so two of you guys have – both two of you have us covering, which – terrifies me, but it's I need to get over my, you know, but if they go up to the swamp and they take care of business, I'll be on board. I'll be fully drinking the Kool-Aid. My thing is, I just need to see it. I need to see it proven on the field, because we've done this since I was a 12-13 year old boy. It's just like, here we go again. Jacory Harris for Heisman. No, didn't happen. Oh, here we go. Al Golden, Stephen Morris, lose by like 57 points to Louisville in the Champ Sports Bowl. Like, it's just like, you know, it's one thing after the other. Even the year 2017, you end on a 3-game losing streak. It's just, there's always something. So I just need to see it proven on the field. I do think we have the talent to perform this year. I had us going, 10-2, Chris? I had us losing to Clemson in the ACC Championship game. Chris had us going 13-0, so...
Absolutely.
All the way, go undefeated.
Absolutely.
By the way, I love the mention about Jacory Harris. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there's this famous interview he had. I think it was either when he was coming into Miami or it was right after his freshman year, and they're talking about the Heisman with him and the whole Miami Northwestern group. And he was like, yeah, you know, if I ever went to a Heisman ceremony, I'd show up in a pink suit and everything. And it was a really infamous quote back then. I need someone to make a graphic edit of Cam Ward in a pink suit at the Heisman ceremony.
I remember it was a 2009 season. I remember he had those first couple games.
Yeah.
Like lighting the world on fire. And then everyone was like, oh, Jacory Harris is the front runner for the Heisman. And then we went to Virginia Tech, lost by like 30 points, and that ended that.
Yeah, it was a nice start to that season. You had that Florida State game with the Greg Cooper touchdown catch, Travis Benjamin. Then you had Georgia Tech right after that, Laron Bird. If anyone remembers that guy.
I remember Laron Bird. Ray Armstrong, right?
Yeah, he was on that team too.
The safety? Yeah, that was wearing 26, pretending to be Sean Taylor. yeah, so... Hey, listen, this was fun. Gio, I appreciate you coming on. This was awesome. Hopefully we can all talk on Twitter next week and we're talking about a Canes win. Would love to see that. I think we all deserve it.
We're going
to
do it.
We're going to do it.
I actually have faith in this and them this year, and I've been very pessimistic in the past.
All right, well, that makes me feel better then. We're all going to talk next week about a Canes win, and it's going to be glorious because then we'll have two nice, easy games after that. We can all just kind of sit in, chill, watch Florida State maybe lose to BC, which will be hilarious.
It wouldn't be a Hurricanes podcast but just to bring up Florida State for just 2 minutes, would it? I just want to say one thing about that Florida State game. If you watch our first episode and we went over the AP poll and I said Florida State at 10 was overrated and you kind of gave me, Kevin kind of was like, I don't know. And I said, listen, I don't think DJ's that good. He checks the ball down. I said their defensive line's not good. They lost two players in the draft in the first and second round. They had three tackles for losses and zero sacks. They got destroyed on the defensive line. So I just wanted to reference that first pod because I think I nailed it.
You did.
But that's it. That's all I got to say about it.
You nailed it. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all coming on. This was amazing. Gio, again, thank you so much. If y'all are listening, please shoot us a subscription on YouTube. Please go on Apple Pod. Give us a 5 stars if you loved our pod. Give us a review. Do whatever you do. Share it with friends. We're also on Spotify as well. Appreciate you guys so much for listening. Again, we'll be talking about a Canes win next week. Let's go. I'm not going to knock on wood and be a bitch. That's what we're going to do. But again, thank you all for listening and have a great night. Go Canes.
Go Canes. Thanks for joining us, Gio.